Good morning. Am I coming through? Am I on? Great. Excellent. Let me just get myself sorted a minute. I don't know if anyone's seen the film Tangled. I can't remember what it's about, to be honest, but these masks make things so difficult with wires and headphones and all sorts of things, but we got there. Right. Well, I just want to say good morning again and Happy New Year. It's fantastic to see everybody, and welcome also to those that are watching online. It's just wonderful to be together, and I love the Christmas services. I hope that you were able to come to some of those or tune into some of those, and it was fantastic to sort of come together and sing and celebrate Christmas together. But I always look forward greatly to this first Sunday of the year where we can get together again and see one another. And catch up and catch a glimpse of God again together, which is absolutely wonderful. So did everyone have a nice Christmas? Fantastic. Did everyone enjoy the puppets? Who saw the puppets in the service? Absolutely, absolutely brilliant. I think they get better every single year. So this morning I want to just share and encourage everybody in sharing about who God is. And his character, and how he deals with us. As we start a new year, and indeed, as we start today, as we start a new week, as we start a new hour, as we start a new minute, we want to fix our eyes on God. God wants us to be completely focused on him, and thank you so much for the what people shared in the service. It was wonderful. But he wants us to fix our eyes on him. And I just want to say amen to what Sarah shared as well, particularly about God wants to do so much with us this year. I think I said this in my last preach, but he has not abandoned us. He is still with us. He is going to see us through to the end, individually and as a body. He is standing with us, and with him as our rock, we can stand firm. Now, there are many incredible things he wants to do with us as a body of believers this year. But the central thing that he wants to do with us is he wants our vision of who he is to grow. That is the number one aim of God in this church. It's the vision of God and who he is to grow in the body, in us as believers, and in the community. The goal is the same, for his name and his renown to be seen for what it is. More than we've ever seen before. And I suppose a question to ask you at the beginning of this year is, are you ready to see more of God than you've ever seen before? Because he is certainly ready to pour out his blessing and pour out his revelation. And he wants to open our eyes and fill our hearts with who he is. God wants us to be assured. And I know Steve was... Where's Steve? Oh, there. Sorry, Steve. So Steve was reminding us recently about God being here with us, Emmanuel, Jesus coming to us. I mean, isn't the most incredible thing about Christmas that God didn't just sort of plant a message in the floor for us to read? He didn't just provide a set of instructions. He didn't just tell us what to do. But he came himself. He came to be with us. And he's still with us now. That's the wonderful thing that we celebrate, is that God is with us now. And he wants to reveal who he is more and more. This year, God wants his presence in our lives to be a greater reality that is breaking in upon our lives every day. He wants us to be experiencing revelation of who he is, day after day after day, and breaking in upon our lives. And even as many of us in the body are facing such difficult circumstances, illness, uncertainty, fatigue, heartbreak, disillusionment, fear, and many more things I could say. Even though we are facing those things, in those things, God wants us to know that he is greater than all of them. He is above, he is beyond, he surpasses even the most difficult things that we face and that we face right now. It is his purpose to strengthen us in the midst of all that we are facing, to allow us to stand in Jesus and be those that overcome. There's that amazing sort of set of letters in Revelation to the churches. And there's a key message there about being those that overcome. And God wants us to be those that overcome. He is here this morning to speak into our lives and to meet us where we are and to do us good. I think that's an incredible thing that we believe this morning. God's not here just to sort of win our obedience. He's not just here to tell us what to do. He's not just here to sort of give us a detailed set of instructions. He's here to do us good right now. I'm just going to read a bit from Isaiah. Those who know me know that I like to doss around in Scripture quite a lot. So please do follow with me if you want, or just listen to the words as I read them. But I just want to read this from Isaiah 35. I was really struck with this yesterday as one of the promises of God for this year. So it's verses 3 to verse 7 of verse 35. The whole of 35 is amazing, by the way, but I'm just going to read these bits. So God says, "Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind be opened, and the eyes of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground, bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow." God wants to do a new thing with us. He wants, where there is a feeling of desert, where there is a feeling of barrenness, he wants to reveal himself to us again, afresh. So, I'm going to sort of lead into the main bit of my talk now. I just wanted to encourage you right at the beginning, and I always like to, but I'm going to continue doing so as I share. So, quite a while ago now, I think 17 years ago was when I stopped being a student, or at least a student in the university sense. I think we all continue learning as we go through, but I was a student back in the day when I first came to Cardiff. And I remember I had lots of conversations with friends at that time. And I have had since as well, but what people would say to me is, how can you be certain that God is real? How can you sort of put your life completely on this belief that God is there and that he is real? And I'm sure you've had similar conversations. And I read a number of books and sort of scriptures at the time to try and help. And I came across that age-old argument about God not being able to exist because of suffering in the world. And I'm not going to get this quite right, so somebody can correct me. But there was an argument that he can't possibly be all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-loving at the same time. That's how the argument went. And it's a nice piece of human reasoning. But it's completely wrong, and it misses the point that God surpasses our understanding, and he is all of those three things at once. What I want to do this morning is talk about each of them and describe to you and encourage you with how amazing it is that he is all three of those. He is all-powerful, he is all-knowing, and he is all-loving. In fact, if he wasn't one of those, we'd be in trouble. But he is all three of those to us at all times. So I'm going to start with the first of those, and I'm going to use a couple of scriptures to sort of help illustrate what God is saying to us about this. So I'm going to start with the fact that God is all-knowing. I might say this wrong, but it means he is omniscient. Is that right? Omniscient. So God is all-knowing. God knows everything. I'm just going to read from a couple of scriptures to help us to hear what God says from his word about it. So Psalm 147, verse 5, just puts it like this. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. His understanding has no limit. Romans 11, we've already heard from Romans this morning, and we will again. But Romans 11 is actually Paul writing about God's wisdom right in the middle of some teaching that he is delivering. So Romans 11, verse 33. So Paul says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever." I've just picked out two there, but the word of God is full of people just like us grappling with the fact that God is just surpasses all knowledge and understanding because he is all-knowing and he is all-wise. And I think it's really important to unpack what that means about God being all-knowing, because it really is an incredible thing that God wants us to take hold of again. Now, of course, on one hand, it means that God knows everything there is to know about anything. But it's far more than just being somebody you'd really want to have on a quiz team. You know, it's God knows every fact, every detail, every date from history, every aspect of everything you could know. But it is far, far more than this. He knows not just what will happen, he knows why it will happen. He knows how things happen. He knows what will happen in the future. He knows the details of the past. But more than this, he knows people. I always think that definition is quite interesting. When we talk about knowing, we talk about knowing knowledge. And it kind of means one thing. It means about knowing our facts, knowing the ins and outs of a subject. But when you talk about knowing people, it kind of takes on a slightly different meaning. It's more than just knowing things about them. Now, I'm a teacher, as many of you know, and we like to test, well, we test knowledge that the students have in all sorts of different ways. So it might be coursework, sorry to mention these on a Sunday morning, but it might be coursework, it might be sort of speaking tests, or it might be exams. I myself quite enjoy doing a quiz. You know, in some ways you could say that's a test of knowledge about topics, about subjects. But how do you test how well you know a person? It's quite an interesting question, isn't it? How would you test how well you know a person? Now, I don't know if there's any Friends fans here. There's a really famous episode. Anyone know the title of it? Well, I haven't told you which one it is yet. But there's a just guess a Friends episode. It'll take all morning. There's an episode of Friends where they play a game where they kind of test how well they know each other. And it's one of those iconic episodes. Anyone know? It is for the one where they move. I don't know if it's called that or not. But they play a game where they answer a series of quiz questions about each other. And obviously it's very funny, and it's very dramatic, and it's a great watch. But actually, we can't measure how well we know each other using a quiz. It's impossible to do that. You could know every detail about a person, but not really know them. Equally, you could know someone really, really well and not happen to know lots of details about their life. God knows us on a level that surpasses facts, figures, information, data. Even though those things are great, and I love them, he knows us on a level far beyond that. The ability to relate, to know someone, to grow in that relationship over time, to develop a bond, is something that comes directly from who God is himself. He is the original relator. He is the original person who develops bonds with us. And when we do it with other people, when we grow in friendships and relationships, it is all God-given. His ability to know people is beyond compare. And this is the amazing thing. He doesn't just know some people. He doesn't just know the ones that he really wants to know. God knows everyone. He knows all of us. I'm not going to read this, but you can read it in your own time. One of the most amazing psalms about this is Psalm 139. I'm not going to, like I say, I'm not going to read it all. It's quite long, but I am going to refer to it. In Psalm 139, David writes about the great knowledge that God has of him. It's almost like he has a moment in his life where he's just blown away by how well God knows him. The psalm shows us that God doesn't just know us now, but he's always known us. He knew us before we were even born, and he will always know us. He knows our innermost thoughts. He knows our motivations. And he knows what we face day to day better than anybody else. He knows who we truly are. I'm a fan of personality tests, as some of you will know. I quite enjoy the sort of, I just quite interesting sort of doing like the Myers-Briggs test and seeing what comes out and talking to other people about it. Those who know me will know that I find that quite interesting. But actually, God knows us better than any personality test. He knows us better than any sort of psychologist could know us. He knows who we truly are, and he knows us better than we know ourselves. He also knows what we will be. You know, that's an amazing aspect of life, isn't it? It's when you take care of others and you have a vision for what you want them to be, and you try and support that person or those people as they grow to be. But for us, we can't be certain. We don't know how people will turn out. We get certain aspects of it that God gives us. But God knows completely how we will turn out. He knows our end from our beginning. More than this, he knows what we need to grow and develop. Again, better than any doctor could prescribe us. He knows what we need to grow and develop, even if what we need seems quite strange if it was applied to another person. He knows us intimately. He knows the people that we need to have in our lives. One of the things I just rejoice at is, well, all of you. And all the people that I know in my life, I'm just so thankful for everybody that I know, because I know that God has put the people in my life that I have in my life. He has led me to the place that I'm at. And it's the same for all of us. He also knows what we need to hear, how we need to hear it, and when we need to hear it. He tells us things at exactly the right time. Now, David's reaction in this psalm is just, I think the best word is wonder. There is a sense of wonder that David shows. He almost can't come to terms with how well God knows him. And it's an appropriate reaction for us as well. But what David also does is he responds, even though he knows God knows him completely, he responds by asking God to search him, to test him, to know his anxious thoughts, to see if there is any offensive way in him, and to lead him through. It's quite amazing that, isn't it? That David knows that God knows him completely, and yet he's almost saying, even though I'm aware of that, God, I just consciously want to come to you and ask you just to search my heart and my mind again, and just to help me to be completely pure before you. And that's what God wants us to do as well, is to come to him and ask him to search us and to change our hearts so that we can be more like him. I want you to be encouraged at the start of this year. God knows you absolutely. He knows every aspect, every detail of how this year will unfold. And he wants to do you good through that. So I'm going to come to the second point, which is not only is God all-knowing and wise beyond compare, But God is all-powerful. And the word for this is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. God's power is absolute. There's only so many ways you can put it. But there is nothing that he cannot do. There is nothing that he cannot do. Again, just to read a little bit of a psalm to illustrate. Psalm 46 puts this better than I possibly could. I'll just read some of it. This is one of my favorite psalms. So Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Again, there are some more excellent things in there, which I want you to read on, but just take that first bit for now. God is our refuge and strength. He is all-powerful in our lives. And if, as you read the Word of God, you see that time and again, the people of God, people just like us, come through not because of their own strength or the strength of the people leading them even, but because of the mighty deliverance of God in each and every situation. And it's the same for us. The first place in Scripture we see God's power, of course, is in creation. And again, we can wonder, a bit like I was saying about David just then, we can wonder at the power of creation. God is the only person who can make something from nothing. There is nobody else who can do it. There's some incredible manufacturing that goes on around the world. But even then, it is not making something from nothing. God literally makes something from nothing. The world, the universe, everything we see is not an accident, but was made through the awesome power of God. What I love about this also is that God spoke creation into existence through the power of his voice. Just through speaking, he spoke creation into existence. And then he breathed life into Adam and Eve. I love that image of God breathing life into Adam and Eve. We know that power of creation as well as we come to God and he in salvation. As he calls us back from the dead and raises us to life. Again, we see his power of creation at work. He takes what is dead, what is lost, and he creates something from nothing. We go from death into life. We become fully alive in him. We see it throughout our lives as well. When we're empty, he fills us. Do you know God is amazing at filling a void? When we feel that void within us, when we feel so empty, so lost, he fills that void within us. He gives us something from nothing. When our dreams are dead, when we feel like we've lost hope, he brings them back to life. He envisions us again. He shows us that we can have a hope that is unlike anything we know in this world. He is a God of incredible, timely provision. As it says in this psalm, just to read it again, he is an ever-present help in trouble. He is an ever-present help in trouble. We can have complete confidence that God will deliver us. Now, some of you may know, there's a fairly minor cricket tournament going on at the moment in Australia. I didn't want to mention it. I nearly crossed it out. I'm quite into cricket, or I was. I'm starting to starting to lose interest. Anyway, I'm talking about the Ashes, of course, and it's quite a painful experience so far for an England fan. But I want to talk about an example that helps with what I'm saying. I suppose the other side of it is we've seen it all before. I expected something similar. Sorry, I've probably just lost everyone who doesn't like cricket. But anyway, the story is, the Australians are running away with the series, so they're doing really, really well. But their captain, anyone know who the Australian captain is? Pat Cummins. So Pat Cummins is a fast bowler, and he's been the number one bowler in the world for quite some time. And he's just become the captain of Australia. Anyway, I'll get to my point. His nickname is the Postman. And the reason his nickname is the Postman is because he always delivers. So they nickname him the Postman because you can just rely on him. Time and time again, line and length, wickets falling, unfortunately. Now, God always delivers. God always delivers. He always comes through for us. Whatever he says he will do, he always does. There is no question of that. There are no moments where he doesn't. He always does what he says he will do. And just to tie this in with the last point I said about him being all-knowing, he always acts at exactly the right time because of his great wisdom. Isn't it wonderful how those work together? Because he is all-knowing, because he knows us intimately, because he knows our situation like no one else, he can act at just the right time. We can take great comfort from that. I think also as well, I heard someone say in a sermon recently that God has two speeds, instantly and slowly. Now, I don't know what I think about that completely. I haven't really, I can see what that person is saying. Because God is the God of the miraculous and the instant miraculous. He's the God of raising people to life. He's the God who instantly gives us what we need. But he's also the God of infinite patience and the God who has a long-term commitment to us. Isn't that wonderful as well? He's got it all covered. So in the moment, he can give us what we need. And yet, he has the long-term aim there as well. He is committed to us for the long term. He is always committed to our well-being and our welfare. He is always working with power within us. Now, we need to be encouraged about that this morning. I know I do. Even when we feel like we're standing still in God, or even worse, when we feel like we're going backwards, he is at work in us. He is changing us and making us like him. God is incredibly patient with us. I'm sure I've spoken about this before, but sorry if I repeat myself. But patience is one of those things that we kind of think is a necessary evil. Do you know what I mean by that? You know, oh, I suppose we'd better be patient. You know, I don't really want to be patient. I don't really want to wait for this thing, but I suppose I'd better because I want the thing that's coming. Patience is not a necessary evil. Patience is an essential quality, and it is a godly quality. God delights in being patient. He delights in making us patient and developing it in us. It is not a necessary evil. It is part of being who God is, and he wants it for us as well. And he's made a covenant with us to see us through to the end, and he will absolutely keep that covenant. Just a few more things about God's power. He doesn't just create. He doesn't just raise us to life. He sustains us. His power sustains us. Creation is sustained through his power. Right now, we are sustained. If God were to withdraw his life-giving power, even for an instant, we would instantly die. The reason we can breathe in and out from moment to moment is because of his sustaining power. Isn't that amazing? There's a world where lots of people don't even know him, and they are being sustained by his life-giving power. Breathing in and out is a miracle. More than this, he sustains our spirit. He gives us hope, as we've heard this morning. He's the lifter of our heads. I love that. I love that. God doesn't just say, look, I want you to lift your head. God is the lifter of our heads. Those times when we struggle to look to him, he is able to lift our heads. And he whispers to us to draw us near. As you read scripture, how often is God's power displayed in whispers? He whispers to us to draw us near. I just want to say as well that Sorry, skipped over a bit. I just want to say as well that he is carrying us. Many of you will know that amazing Footprints poem about the awareness of God carrying us in those moments when we really need it. Now, I'm not contradicting what the poem is saying. I think it's saying this as well. But the incredible thing is that God is always carrying us. The reality is that when we feel most desperate, when we feel in need, it's not that God carries us just in those moments. It's that our awareness that he is carrying us comes through, and we know that he is carrying us at all times. Just want to finish this point by saying God's power is not just something that he has. It's who he is. He's the God of power. He's not just someone who creates. He is our creator God. He's not just somebody who saves us. He's our redeemer. It's what he does. It's who he is. He's not just somebody who heals. He's our healer. He wants us to come to him in every situation and recognize that he alone can save us. Nothing is impossible for God. So I want to come into the last point, which is about, so I've described how God is all-knowing, God is all-powerful. I want to talk about how God is all-loving. This is the hardest one to say, I think. So he is omnibenevolent. I think that's right. He is all-loving. And as I want to focus on this morning, he is all-good. Thank you, Sarah, for reading Romans 8, verse 28. I've got it written here. I'm going to read it again, just to introduce this point. So Romans 8, verse 28. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, if God was all-powerful and he was all-knowing, but he wasn't all-loving, we would be in trouble. Luckily, we don't even need to think about that, because he is all three. Rather than there being a contradiction, there is a wonderful security in knowing that he is all three of those. He is all-loving as well as being all-knowing and all-powerful. We can put absolute trust in God because we know that he is a good God. Praise God that he is good. Now, saying that God is good is not just saying that he does good things. It's saying that he is goodness in himself. Wherever you see goodness, God's there. Wherever God is, there is goodness. Wherever God isn't, there is a lack of goodness. God is goodness in himself. To be in the presence of God is to experience his goodness. It's amazing. There's a wonderful moment in Exodus 33 when Moses asks to see God's glory. It's possibly one of the most amazing questions that somebody's ever asked. God, can I see your glory? And it says something wonderful at that point. So Moses says, God, I want to see your glory. And God's response is, I will cause all of my goodness to pass in front of you. That's amazing, isn't it? Imagine that. All of God's goodness passing in front of him. When God shows up, we see his goodness. And because, as I said at the beginning, our lives are now being caught up with the presence of God, we're able to know his goodness in our lives forever. We constantly need to remind ourselves and remember God's goodness. There's a psalm, I like the psalms, you can tell that, can't you? Psalm 136, I'm not going to read it all again, but every other line is saying, his love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. The people of God at that time needed to be reminded about the love of God They sang it every other line. And it's the same for us. You know, we need to constantly remember the goodness of God, his loving kindness. Now, God doesn't just want us to know about his goodness, or even just to be aware of it. He wants us to experience it firsthand in our lives. God wants us to experience his goodness. If you read the word of God, it is clear that God wants that for his people. Another psalm. Psalm 34 says this: "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And then later it says, "Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." Taste and see that the Lord is good. Those who seek the Lord lack no good. Lack no good thing. Psalm 84 says, "No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless." No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. And David wrote as well in Psalm 27, "I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living." Now, what we can see from these verses is that it is absolutely God's purpose that we see, we taste and see his goodness in our lives. But it's also clear that there are times when we don't feel like that. There are times when we feel almost cut off. We feel that we can't see God's goodness. And it's important that we read that in Scripture that is a normal experience as well. There are countless people in Scripture who go through those periods where they feel like they cannot see the goodness of God in their lives. We need to almost see that and almost be encouraged by that, that we're not alone. If we're feeling like we're not seeing God's goodness right now, there's nothing inherently wrong with that. And God has it all in hand. As I say, God knows us. He knows us intimately, and he will bring us through. But we can feel like that. I'm not going to go into all the reasons for that, because to be honest, I don't know. God does. But I am going to say sometimes it can just be a question of perspective. You know, one thing that God changes within us as we go through life is our perspective. He teaches us to see things more and more and more as he sees them. And we obviously live in a world where the perceptions of things are not just sort of slightly off what they are in God's kingdom, but they are completely opposed. The way the world perceives things is completely opposed to how we perceive things in God's kingdom. And it's really easy to be thrown by that and to miss God's goodness because our perspective is off. That's all of us at different times in our lives. But when we recognize this, it's all about coming back to God and being honest with him and asking him to help us see things clearly. The more we see Jesus, the more we seek Jesus, the more our lives revolve around him, the more those perspectives change, and we start to see his goodness all around him. The most amazing thing about God's goodness is that knowing him, is such a good thing. Being in his presence is experiencing his goodness. But the more we seek him, the more he reveals himself to us. Joseph knew this as he encountered God in the prison. I mean, he comes to an amazing point in his life. With all that he goes through and being imprisoned and ill-treated by his family, he had every right to feel alone by the rules of this world. But God meant something different for him. And he says to those same brothers who threw him into prison later on, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." His perspective became more and more like God's, and he could see the goodness of God even in that bleak situation. Another example for you, if I've got time, is Hezekiah. He's one of the one of the very few good kings in the Old Testament. There were many that were bad, but he was a godly man. And he became very ill, and he cried out to God for healing. It's written about in Isaiah, and I haven't written down which bit, but I have written down the verse. So in Isaiah, it records what Hezekiah said to God. He became very ill, and he said, he cried out to God, basically. He asked God to extend his life. Lord, I've served you faithfully. Please heal me. Please extend my life. Please bring me through this dark place. And God does. God extends his life. And Hezekiah says this, what can I say? He has spoken to me, and he himself has done this. I will walk humbly all my years because of this anguish in my soul. Lord, by such things men live, and my spirit finds life in them too. You restored me to health and let me live. Surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. In your love, you kept me from the pit of destruction. You have put all my sins behind your back. This was a godly man, and he recognized that even in that illness, God meant it for good, and God used it to bring greater good in his life and in the lives of those around him. I'm just going to finish with one more psalm, just to encourage us. And this might well be our response to God today, about seeing the goodness of God and waiting on him to see him working in our lives. So Psalm 13 says this. Now, just before I read this, this is another time where David here, I didn't actually know this until I looked at it this time, but he was ill, and he was fearing for his life, and he prayed these words. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. I absolutely love those last two verses. I will trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Now, we're all in different places this morning. We're all experiencing different things. But God wants to bring us back to his goodness again this morning. He wants to bless us. He wants to do good to us. He wants to change our perspective. He wants to show us what he is like, that he is the all-knowing, the all-powerful, and the all-loving God who is at the center of our lives. Isn't it amazing that we know God? Isn't it amazing that God knows us, that his purposes for us are so good? Isn't it amazing that in everything he does, he works for the good of those who love him? That's the God that we know this morning. So just as the band come up, I'm just going to pray, and then we'll just respond in worship. Yeah, Father, I thank you so much for your message of hope and deliverance this morning. Lord, I thank you that you are the only wise God. Lord, you are the God of wisdom and understanding. I thank you that you are the all-powerful God. I thank you that you are our strength and our refuge at all times, that you carry us, whether we're aware of it or not, Lord, you carry us at all times. And I thank you for your loving kindness. I thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we praise you for your goodness. We thank you that you mean good for us this year. Lord, we want to see your goodness again this morning. We want to see your heart again full of love and care and compassion for us. Lord, just show us again what you're like and help us to depend on you more every day. Lord, we love you. Lord, and we just want to seek you all the days of our lives, Lord. Our heart says of you, God, seek his face. Lord, we want to seek your face. Lord, come and do good to us again. Amen.